On the Moving Icon, host Chris Vlahonasios explores the world of Eastern Orthodox Christian filmmakers and artists, as well as examines popular films through an Orthodox lens.
On today's program, I'll be talking with Angelica Sotirio, a visual artist from San Pedro in California, USA. As an Orthodox Christian, Angelica's art is a vivid expression of her faith. Using abstract and surreal forms, she originally started off drawing and painting with graphite and acrylics, but moved towards sculpture. Then after many years, returned back to her first love of color and line on large canvases. Having been a teacher and lecturer for 39 years, Angelica finally decided to dedicate herself to what she truly loved. She established her own studio and has been painting for over 20 years. Her work has been exhibited at many renowned galleries across the USA and forms the private collections of some very prominent people, including the blockbuster film and TV producer Jerry Bruckheimer. Angelica, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Chris, so very much. I'm honored to be a part of your show.
So what can you tell us about your upbringing, and how did art find its place in your life?
I was raised in a Greek Orthodox family. My father was born in Piraea, and my mother was a first-generation Greek born to parents from Kefalonia. We were wholesale flower farmers. My youth was spent working in the family business, surrounded by acres of multicolored fields of rows and rows of asters, intensely colored salmon pink, deep purples, pinks, lavenders, rose pinks. Multiple shades of greens and blues were my visual field, and colors became my recorded memory. We were in a constant relationship as a family with the weather, rain, wind, and sun. These elements determined how healthy the crops would grow and eventually sell at the flower market in downtown Los Angeles. We were saturated in the mystical rhythm of nature and connected in a way that imprinted in the heart of a very young, introspective artist-to-be. My senses were richly fed.
Sounds like a magical childhood, or the lavish cinematography of an Asian movie. But getting back to the questions, why did you choose to blend Orthodoxy into your art?
I do not see my Orthodoxy as a blend or a choice. It is how I breathe, how my heart beats, who I am in Christ. My paintings have become what I pray. Luke 12:34, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. As a young artist, my sculptures were often of the interior angst I had at being a woman raised in a traditional Greek family and the longing to choose the path of an artist. As I grew into young motherhood, my work was about polarities and the angst of losing my artist self to a husband and to my children as being wife and mother. But as my children grew up, so did my need to pray more and to hold on to trusting in the will of God. As my prayer life increased, so my artwork changed. Instead of youthful angst and searching for definitions, my works became all about my relationship with my internal world and relationship with God.
Your artistic statement describes your recent drawings and paintings as, quote, a personal journey of uncovering and revealing pathways, windows, and portals of light and of spirit. What does this mean, and have you achieved it?
My paintings are large. The average size is 8 feet by 4 feet. The process of painting them becomes a tango of sorts. The works take much energy and broad strokes. They are like a painted choreography. The paintings are large like giant windows and doorways that I must pass through. I constantly work on creating and attempting to bring light out of the painted surface. I'm always humbled and made small in the presence of the enormous size of each canvas. The process becomes a relationship, and the canvas becomes a dimensional space that I have entered. Each painting I do has been inspired by passages from scripture or a phrase or prayer that touches me during divine liturgy, or a perspective of the writings of the holy mothers and fathers, or what I take into prayer. Sometimes it is something as simple as the incense that rises, or the image of the hundreds of beeswax candles lit in the Holy Sepulchre, or how the light enters through the stained glass windows and shines on the iconostasis. All the images settle into my visual memory bank and become these wordless illustrations of the sublime. As I work on the sketch of the idea or the concept, I do my homework and I explore more deeply the concept with more Orthodox readings, more prayers, or approaching my father confessor with clarifying questions. As I work on the painting, more questions arise that await answers, and sometimes the work itself answers them for me. When a work is complete, I am often surprised at all that I have learned and how I spiritually grew in the process of creating my work. It is a grace, and always this process humbles me. I guess the Lord knows how to make me listen and how I am to learn.
Can you give us some examples of your contemplative narrative paintings?
I have a portfolio of 200 or more works, but my most recent works in the last decade have become more illustrative of my interior world. I will take, for example, a few of the last 10 paintings I have done in sequence. I finished a work called Mary's Yes, and it is an abstract illustration of the moment the Theotokos says yes to the Lord. The image is the fusion of the very moment when the Holy Spirit and Mary's yes become one. The painting is vertically large and begs the viewer to look up to the point where the viewer's neck strains to see the swirl of wings and spirit above the beam of golden light that descends into the swirls of amber and pink and blue, a living embrace. Or the painting I did of Sin and Grace, where sin is this viscous, undulating, dimensional application of deep red, broken apart by the thrust of illuminating gold and heavenly blues from above and below, covering and smothering the intestinal ribbons of deep red. Then there is the painting of Theosis, where becoming one with the Lord is a collision of galactic proportions. The red of the union, the blend of colors, become almost embryonic, and the shape of the union becomes chalice-like and takes the form of the cup and of woman. In the piece called Candilla, again, 9 feet by 4 feet, and an expanded and abstracted perspective, the brilliant blinding light of the many candles lit by the faithful in prayer. The works are large and invite the viewer to enter into their world, listening with their hearts as the colors and light saturate their visual field.
From the time you first started as an artist, has your artistic direction and subject matter changed?
I truly can say that I have always been searching in my work to find reconciliation and finding the light in the darkness. Some earlier works were more literal and figurative. As my paintings became more confident in technique and media, the works became more abstract, but all the while dealing with finding light and bringing light out into the open as a dominant focal point of the composition.
What is your creative process to go from blank canvas to art?
As I said earlier, I start out in contemplation of a verse, prayer, chant, etc. I enter into the image that form and I settle into them, and then I sketch them out in my sketchbook, making notations on the sketch where and how color and texture will intersect. Most of my paintings start out being covered in black or an indigo black. I mix black gesso and acrylic paint together and apply it to the surface. And at this point, I make directional scoring while wet to create textural movement. The works initially start out on the floor and then are lifted onto a very large easel for me to work in my details. I work from dark to light and oftentimes foregoing the brush completely as my tool, and use my bare hands to apply paint and the opalescent reflective powders.
Deep shades of blue, gold, and white light seem to feature prominently in your work.
Thank you, Chris, for observing my dominant colors that I use. Yes, thank you for noticing. Blue has always been my go-to color, perhaps the influence of my childhood working in the fields and always fascinated with the expansive blue sky above me. I always thought if I just looked hard enough, I would see the Lord looking down on me. But yes, blue is like the heavens, the kingdom, the blue that is not of this world, dense and infinite. Gold, indeed, has always found some spot on my painting. It represents illumination, the uncreated light of God and his heavenly kingdom. The gold is Christ's divinity. And yes, I use white. White is always my final application or my first application on the black darkened canvas. Like a moth to light, my canvas is always about the emergency of heavenly divinity. These colors describe the light that I want to portray in my works and in my own life. They represent a constant renewal.
Which of all your pieces would you say is your favorite?
My favorite piece is titled 70 times 7. The journey in creating this painting was a poignant spiritual journey for me. It was my most difficult, yet my most successful and rewarding. I set out believing I could portray in a painting the concept of, something light like forgiveness. Yet in approaching the painting, I realized that there was still unforgiveness in my heart. So after many layers of humility, shades of purple gray, I was able to create a golden portal into eternity where the key was forgiveness that led me into the heart of God through love.
But not only are you skilled in the worldly arts, but you have also written icons. Has iconography altered your overall artistic perspective?
I took a beginning iconography class from my father confessor, Reverend Father Michael Curry, about 15 years ago. The notion of working from dark to light turned the corner in all of my paintings. Also, there was a very mystical relationship when my hand painted the glycosmos onto the face of Christ icon. I truly can say I fell into Christ's eyes for the first time in my life, and I fell deeply in love. From that point forward, all my paintings were done to glorify Him. Period.
You taught art for many years before becoming a full-time artist. What has the experience of teaching taught you?
Teaching has taught me so very much about the power of the creative process, the power of the visual arts, how teaching art was such a gift because it also gave me a glimpse into the soul of my student, a wordless, intimate connection into their hearts. I know there's not a student in this world that I cannot love because of teaching. I became a better artist, a more compassionate member of the world, a seeker of beauty, and a more thoughtful mentor.
What was it like making the plunge into the realm of full-time artist?
There was no fear in the plunge of taking the risk of being a full-time artist. Life finally allowed me the time to use my gifts in a more focused manner. In my age now, I no longer have to balance my roles as woman, mother, wife, daughter, friend, employee. I have been blessed that I never lost sight of my soul's desire to be an artist, and I have been blessed to have had all of my life's experiences and responsibilities transform and shape the artist that I am today.
So what's next?
I also have made a commitment to offer my gallery and studio space to show faith-based artists who otherwise in a very secular world would not have the opportunity to show their works. I'm enjoying bringing together artists in my studio and finding commonality in our works. Like the man says, where there are three or more gathered, there I will be.
Thank you for joining us on the show today, Angelica. God bless you and your remarkable work. That was Angelica Sotirio, a visual artist based in California, USA. To see Angelica's amazing works, go to angelicasotirio.com. If you want to learn more about Orthodoxy, media, and the arts, visit the OFA blog at orthodoxfilmmakersandartists.blogspot.com or like the blog on Facebook. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to The Moving Icon with Chris Vlahonacios. This has been a production of the Orthodox Christian Network.